And it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, and joined as always by Jason Hayes, pastor of Shoreline Church. We are excited about this week as we're going to focus on consumerism, individualism, and the church. And I'm sure you're listening to that and going, man, I cannot wait for you to dive into those amazing
what
topics.
What an amazing opportunity to sit in the car and listen to this for the next hour.
Yeah, or if you're like me, sit on the mower and listen to a podcast that feeds your soul or not. But what we want to do, as we've talked about in between Sundays, is look at cultural issues and from a biblical worldview standpoint. So our whole life as Christians, we do have a biblical worldview on everything. We should.
Right.
And so as we're looking at these things, I think it's important that we have conversations that in turn will hopefully point listeners to have conversations about their responsibility, their engagement in their church, looking in the mirror and saying, you know, am I a little too into this consumer mentality, this individual mentality? And so that's what we want to talk about today, Jason. So get us started, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, it's a big week, though. Even a big week for you. I know that for those that might listen to this on the podcast afterwards, sure. That's all right. But give us a peek as to what you guys have got going on. That's a big deal.
Yeah,
right?
At my house? You're talking about personally. Oh, you're talking about personally.
Yeah, we're just going straight into it.
Well, first off, Erin is not pregnant again, so let's clear that up. We have four kids, and sometimes when I say there's big news or big announcement, people just assume.
They're like, well, we've
you're
heard
having
this
a baby.
Before.
Yeah,
we know
so
what
we
happens.
Are, at least that I'm aware of, is not pregnant again. But yeah, my wife has a small shop, LLC. And so she's really into home decor and refurbishing furniture, and she's very gifted and talented in that area. And so this weekend's the big sale of items that she has personally created and reinvented and then brand new items as well. So we're excited about that. It's called Welcome Home, and if you follow me on social media, you can see all about
it.
Yeah,
you guys
also
need
follow
to do
that on social media as well. So it's Saturday and Sunday is a big day.
He didn't know
for the Woodhouse.
He didn't
big
know
day.
I was going to ask, but yeah. it's good stuff.
Well, my wife will appreciate
this
that.
This is not like the 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. at the end of the garage sale.
It is
material,
not. No. It is not a garage. Sale.
This is not.
I
a
mean,
garage
technically,
sale.
It's in a garage, but it's not.
Shop.
It's exactly.
Shop.
It's all in. It's all in. How you word it, but yes, we're looking forward to it.
I love it, and everybody else at the Wood home is doing
everybody's
well.
Everybody's good. You know, Gavin is my oldest, and he, I've been telling him since he was born not to play on our utility trailer
because
it's old and rusty, and he didn't listen, and so he fell and got a big gash in his leg, and he, you know, thought we had to amputate, and I was rubbing his head, and Erin was nursing him up, and he just looked up and he's crying. He said, I just don't want to die. It's like, well, you're not going to die. So
traditionally,
okay.
Death does not ensue after these type injuries.
Yeah. So, but everybody else is good.
Good,
yeah.
good. Well, I'm fired up. It's a big week for sure. So, man oh me. All right. Well, so today we're talking about, as Andrew said, consumerism, individualism, and the church. And so as a pastor here, in the Knoxville community, this is one of the things that we just battle. We talked last week about the temptation to fall into the cultural context, to allow the church to become what the culture says the church should be. Sometimes allow the church to become what we just would rather it be, as opposed to what the Bible says it should be. And so, of course, I think most all of us would recognize that the church isn't a place of bricks and mortar, but instead, it is the body of Christ. And it's not just a gathering. It is not just a group of people who somewhat know each other. Mm-hmm. But instead, this is the primary vehicle that God has used to push forward the kingdom of God historically. And so there is huge weight on this. And we want to do it right. We want to do it absolutely right. And so, unfortunately, we have a tendency to fall into some of this consumerism. We have a tendency to fall into some of this individualism. And so that's what we want to refute today.
Yeah, and as we, you know, it's interesting. I'm constantly wrestling with this in my own life. How materialistic am I? And I think we all struggle in different ways in that. How, where's my money going? So the money that the Lord is providing us through our jobs and different things that we do, what are we doing with that money? Is it to elevate the name our name? Is it to elevate our stuff, or is it to impact the kingdom with our tithes, with our offerings, with helping and assisting organizations across the country? And so I'm always wrestling with that. And yes, I, you know, even though we give to certain organizations, there's still this this trend to go, yeah, but me, I need this,
right?
I need that, or I want this, or I want that, and then we look at our, you know, I think at times when you go to church and you hear someone speak about money, or you hear someone speak about giving, you just immediately roll your eyes and go, here we go, and they're gonna pass the plate around and guilt us into giving, and I think that's a mistake from a Christian standpoint to go and roll your eyes at that, because we do need to be looking at that. And you see constantly in Scripture where Jesus and others in Scripture were saying having money isn't the bad thing, but
right.
Money driving you and capturing your thoughts and your heart, that's where it comes into an issue.
So what you're hitting on here is, of course, materialism. And so, you know, we often wrestle with, what do we do with our stuff? How do we balance the ownership of the things we have with the recognition that God ultimately gave it to us? There's these things that sometimes create tensions within us, even in the life of, in our existence within the local church. And so something like giving, or something like regular attendance, or something like service, or any number of these topics, if we don't have the right understanding about what the church has to be and should be, then either we lose trust in it, we get harmed by it, we become bitter by it, or bitter to it. It could be anything. And, you know, that's where we want to be today. I really, really appreciate your heart, Andrew. You've always, although you've always been connected, for as long as I've always known, you've always been connected to Hope. And for those of you that don't know the ministry of Hope Resource Center, you need to make sure you check that out. But it's always been, this is not just this thing that sits outside of the local church. And again, we see these trends, probably started by really good people, that before you know it, people have said, well, yeah, I'm connected to a parachurch ministry, but I don't really have a church, or I give to a parachurch ministry, but I don't really faithfully support a local church, or I serve in an organization in town, but I'm just a spectator. And even as you referenced to a kind of the celebrity element that seems to be floating around our culture as it connects to the church, we just have to know, what do we do with that? I think probably there's something innately in us that at times we want to elevate people, but if we're not careful, if we don't know better, we just embrace it, and we say we're going to have celebrity pastors. We say we're going to elevate these people above others. We're going to begin to think in our minds that they have greater access to God than we do. But if we know the Scriptures, if we see what Jesus intended the church to be, then it can be something really, really beautiful. There's some big questions that come up, you know, in culture, or in research related to our culture right now. You see all kinds of data about those that have walked away from the church. But we also have a demographic of people that never walked away because they were never connected in the first place. And so we've just got to be mindful. What is going to be inspiring to the lost world? And what's going to be inspiring to the body of Christ that's going to keep them connected to the local church?
Yeah. And also there's studies now that show, you know, millennials, that's what everybody wants to talk about. And there's studies now that show what many of them are hungry for is truth and doctrine and not the flash and not the, you know, pyrotechnics and all these things that come along with what we think. Well, man, if we can just get people in our doors, then the lives will be changed. But the reality is many of these folks are looking for just authentic relationship and truth, and a church and leadership that is saying, we love you simply because of who created you, and we have a message for you that is worth sharing. I mean, the gospel isn't something that we're like, yeah, it's personal and you know, very individualistic, and we'll talk about that here in a second, but it's something so much more than that, that we say we have the greatest news this planet has ever seen. And if we believe that to be true, then why are we letting it get lost in the flash and just, you know, trying to get people in our door instead of letting the truth speak for itself? Because what you find is when the truth speaks, people start coming. I'm always interested in going to certain places, and I visit a lot of churches, and watching how, you know, some churches are very flashy, some are not. And they all have different styles
right.
of worship.
And, great,
and that's okay.
And that's great churches.
Yeah,
sure.
That's not me knocking that.
Right.
That's me saying that different people worship in different ways.
Right.
But it's always interesting to me, you know, some of the guys that I listen to and follow, who some would call a celebrity pastor, Matt Chandler and J.D. Greer, folks
yep.
like that. He just gets up and speaks the truth a lot of times.
Right.
And so that doesn't mean that, I grew up in a very small town, so I went to a very traditional church, and my pastor at that church would have never called himself a celebrity pastor.
Right.
But
he was a celebrity.
When I saw him out in public, did he feel approachable? No, he felt like someone that I couldn't approach.
Right.
And if I saw him at a ball game in shorts, I'd go, whoa.
Wow, he's wearing
shorts. What in the world's happening here? And so even in these small towns, even in these smaller churches,
sure.
there's a sense of celebrity. Even though it may not be intentional, there's a sense of celebrity because we as consumers come in and go, that's what we need. We need
right.
a celebrity on that stage.
Right. And after the break, we're going to talk a bit about, more about this consumeristic piece. It's actually Amazon Prime week. Technically, it used
deal.
To be Amazon Prime day. We're just right on the heels on it. It's just finished. But now I think it's turned into a 36-hour event.
Yeah, and so
we there's probably some things to learn there. And one of the things that you referenced to that I love is, we have to be mindful that in this seeker-sensitive world,
sure.
what does the seeker actually want? And I believe they want some things that often we don't give them enough credit for. And we'll talk about that in a bit.
Well, and there's a fine line. I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting people to come to your church.
No,
there's nothing wrong
with
posting and doing things that are going to draw them in. So
I
think you have two extremes. You have some that say absolutely no seeker sensitive, and we're like, well, you turn the air on that morning.
You
right?
wanted to make it comfortable.
So you're in some way, making it seeker sensitive because you're wanting it to be comfortable. In the summertime, you turn the air on. In the wintertime, you turn the heat on. You may have water available. You have
right.
bathrooms
right.
available. You know, you have nursery available. All
nursery.
These things are positive. And there is going overboard with some of that. And so there's finding that middle ground. And I think a lot of this is, when we have this conversation, it's finding the place where we can come together somewhere in the middle and all say, okay, this is the focus. The focus is the gospel, is the truth. Yes, our kids are going to get snacks in the nursery. Yes, they're going to have fun. They're going to, play games and get to play on the playground. But they're also getting gospel truth. And every time I pick my children up on Sundays, I ask them, what'd you learn today?
Awesome.
And it doesn't end with, I learned how to play tag or dodgeball or whatever.
Right.
It's, they actually were taught something. That might have been 5 minutes of their time, but at least something gospel, something Jesus was being brought to them.
Now, I do know that our buddy Scott Stallings, who's one of our partners, pro golfer, PGA golfer, he was working child care yesterday, and he did have kids doing push-ups.
Yeah, I did see that.
Which I thought was amazing.
Which is very good. Very good. Create that discipline early. We'll be back. So today we're talking about consumerism, individualism, and the church, and how we have all the answers for you. I'm kidding. We do not have all the answers for you. That's not the goal of Between Sundays. But what our goal is to get us to have conversations, not just amongst us here in front of the microphones, but or behind the microphones, but.
If we were in front of the microphone, it would be very difficult to
yeah.
do.
And yeah. so, but you know, with you listening and going, okay, these are conversations I need to have. Am I a consumer in my church? Is my faith more individualistic? We've been watching at the Woodhouse because we're very relevant and about today and things that are happening today. So every night we've been watching at least one episode of The Waltons.
Nice.
Which is very, very relevant to everything going on. And all my kids go, why don't they have shoes on? So we're a lot of lessons to learn by watching The Waltons. But one thing that we're that's being talked about and watched through that, because it took place during the Depression,
right.
So they didn't have much and they had family, but the dad, John, I don't know if you know his name.
I know. We've got the box series.
But as he's talking through about faith the other night, he was saying, you know, it's very personal. It's very individual. He didn't have to go to church because his faith is personal. So he sends, this is the interesting thing about that show, is he sends his family, all his kids and his wife, to church by themselves. He just stays at home while they do that. And so I'm watching that and going, no, that is not.
That is not
He's
correct.
A great man, and his kids love him on the show, and he's very involved in their life. But that is not what faith is about. That is not what going and attending church is about. And so walk us through some of that as we think through, and you know, church planning and or attending church and looking for that church home. What does it mean for a Christian?
That's really interesting. Yeah, as I said, we were actually gifted the Walton Box series when we moved into our home. Our realtor gave it to us.
That's so good.
What a great gift, you know.
So good.
And
hopefully VHS.
Yeah, I think we had made it into the DVD era, I believe, but. That's funny. I don't remember that, but it
that's
is
first season.
Got it. Thank you. But it is interesting because it definitely points towards another misunderstanding of what the church is. And so here momentarily we'll talk about that consumerism, but let me just jump into that a bit about individualism. It's one of the things that we say every Sunday is that we say that we come with one intent, and it's to elevate the name of Jesus. We always say it's not to, you know, celebrate anyone on this platform or anyone in this room exclusive to the person of Jesus. But we often also follow that up with that this is not the space to get alone with God.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I said that yesterday.
Right, right.
This is not the place to get alone with God. There are needed moments in our life where we are alone with the Lord. And my suggestion would be those are when we are alone with the Lord.
Alone. That's right.
You know, but rather embrace the community aspect of our faith. As we know, God exists in community. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He did something unique with us. He spoke everything else into existence, and then He breathed us into existence. He formed us out of the dust, breathed life into us, makes us in His image. And so for it to be made in His image, then we have to exist in community.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't mean that on the gatherings that we have together that we come in and be spectators. We say regularly that we come to give testimony to God about His faithfulness, but we also come to give testimony to one another about His faithfulness and about His character and all the attributes that He has. And you can't do that in this spectator mentality, which unfortunately happens. We intentionally just opened up our lobby as best we possibly can in a building that we basically tried to retrofit. But we tried to open it up because we don't want it to feel like a cattle call where people just come in, they face the front, they sit down, they don't interact with anyone. They're while we would never do anything to embrace some type of performance, you know, that's the way people are wired at the movie theater or at a Broadway show or anything else. And then they take in their 75 minutes and leave. This is not the church. The church is intended to be people who know each other well and ultimately do something else, which is to call each other closer to the things of Christ, to push each other forward in the faith. And that's an important step.
Well, and I think, and we've had conversations, I think conversations with folks before about legalism versus authentic gospel people. And there is nothing wrong with being obedient. There's nothing wrong with following the rules as long as that isn't the motivation. There was a time in my life where everything I did, because I'm a goody-goody and a rule follower, was based on following those rules, checking certain boxes, and that's what made me a Christian. But following certain rules as a Christian is a good thing. Like, we need to be doing that. There's effort in that. There's the Lord pushes us in that. And so as we walk through our Christian lives, as we walk through, if I may, between Sundays,
come on,
we have to engage with our neighbors, with our coworkers, people that may not be believers, people that may go to a different church than us, people that may have a different faith than us, people that may have a different family makeup than we do. And how do we interact with them if all we think about Sunday is being spectator and individualistic, if we think of our faith as being individualistic, then when we meet our coworker, faith never comes up.
Right.
When we meet our neighbor, faith never comes up. When we have conversations with our family, faith never comes up because it's personal. Or you know, I hear people. I grew up in a very rural setting with beautiful back roads and farmland and
you said back roads. I literally just thought you said back rubs. And I was like, that
are not beautiful back rubs that I'm aware of happening.
So uncomfortable. We immediately went off the rails.
Yeah. Jason's like, what kind of rural area did you grow up in?
I don't know what kind of bizarre legalism there
is. That's a cult that I did not grow up in. But
continue. Sorry.
Beautiful back roads. And as we think about that, some of the folks that I grew up with would say, I don't go to church on Sunday. I go and be part of nature, be part of the woods and go ride horses. And then I'm going, okay, I get that. We should celebrate the creation, what God has given us. But when we do those things, we fail to celebrate the Creator who created everything around us. And Scripture tells us to go and be a part of the local church.
I think you've hit on something that's really prevalent even today. I mean, this is common thought. It's, hey, I can worship just as much at the lake. I can worship, you know, hey, I need to be involved. And I'm going to be really quick to say, I have three boys. They all play sports. They play competitive sports. We constantly weigh that battle and try to figure the balance of how you be involved in those things. But what do we hear? We hear, well, there's lost people that need that are on the ball field on Sunday mornings. I mean, there's any number
mostly the umpires.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's any number of rationales that we can put to a disconnect between ourselves and the local church. But here's what we know. One, as you referenced, the legalism doesn't just invade into the things after church, it invades even our thoughts about church. Mm-hmm. And so we often say, I've just got to check off this thing on the list. The spiritual inventory says go to church on a Sunday. But that is not what God has called us to. It is not compelling. It is not Christ exalting. It is empty religious behavior. But if we see the value of it, which is where I want us to get to, if we begin to talk about if someone's looking for a church, what should their value be, you know, what should they be looking for? Mm-hmm. And why should they be looking for that? When we get to that discussion, that's where people begin to say, this is more than me just being a spectator. This is something that really is going to change me and also hopefully impact others. You know, we often say, well, I'm in a pretty good spot. Well, good for you, man. What about the other people that could use a brother or sister to come alongside them?
Well, and we're also not saying what we're not saying is you should go to church and not enjoy it.
No, heaven's sake.
You should certainly enjoy your time there, the worship, the preaching, whatever. But what we are saying is there may be days where that may not be at the level you think it should be. That shouldn't change your worship and your love for God. And what we want to talk about on the other side of this break is looking at how planning churches and how sometimes we're a little hesitant to do that. But Shoreline 5 years ago went through that with you, Jason, and your team. And so we're going to talk about that when we come back.
Sounds good.
So today we're looking at a topic that I think impacts all of us, whether you're a pastor, a nonprofit leader, or a plumber, or electrician, or a teacher, or fill in the blank, a stay-at-home mom. This is something that we all are wrestling with in some shape, form, or fashion. Is our faith individual? Is it something that needs to be shared? And certainly, I mean, if you look at the Great Commission, it needs to be shared. You know, living in the South, I think we have a view of church because there's a church almost on every corner,
correct,
of some shape, form, or fashion.
And when you say almost, you mean absolutely
every
usually
corner.
Right next door to another one.
And so, so obviously, it's impacted our culture, our southern culture, and our society, and it matters. I mean, even in the South, we one of the first questions you'll get if you're new is, where do you go to church? Or, hey, I haven't met you before, but where do you go to church? People from not the South find that offensive at times because well, that's personal to me. My spiritual life is personal to me. But you went through this 5 years ago in wrestling with where the Lord was calling you and your family, and you just felt led that 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 was back to Knoxville.
Yeah.
And to plant Shoreline. And so walk through the wrestling with, hey, we need to have people here, but we don't want to be consumer driven or individualistic.
Right.
And also thinking about, well, there's churches already in Knoxville.
Right.
Why do we need another one?
Right. Yeah, very, very quickly, you know, so I actually grew up here in Knoxville, good, bad, or ugly, graduate of Farragut High School, and was introduced to ministry, accepted a call to ministry, kind of embraced, that call in my life here in Knoxville. Then we moved to Nashville and served at a great church there as well as was serving alongside, Lifeway Christian Resources. And then 8 years later, the Lord called us back to Knoxville. And candidly, I had always been, I was doing a lot of speaking at churches, mm-hmm. and training church leaders. And I had a chance to write some books and things of that sort. And I saw a lot. And I was really, really skeptical of church planters that were my age. I'm now 40 years old, but we've been at it 6 or 7 years at this point. And so I was 33, 34 years old, and I was super skeptical of a lot of church planters because I saw churches being planted for the wrong reasons. I saw people saying, hey, you know, I'm angry at my pastor, so I'm going to do something down the road. That's not why you plant a church. We're going to show people what true musical worship looks like. You know, that's ridiculous. So we're going to go do something different. Or we're tired of committees, so we're going to do this. There's space for variance in that. I don't imply there's not space for some difference in those things. But you don't plant a church for that reason. You plant a church because you have a passion for the community and a passion for the gospel. And you want to see those worlds collide. And so when we began to sense God leading us back into Knoxville, we had to do a few things. One is we wanted to be quick to establish our posture, and that was that we were not the saviors of the city.
Right.
We were not coming in and all of a sudden going to be the rescuers to the city. We knew there was an incredible heritage of faith that existed here already. And so we're abundantly thankful for all kinds of churches that have gone before us. We're all kinds of thankful for the churches that that remain here and remain strong. But there is also, I think, an open acceptance we can look at. There are a number of churches. I believe the overall church, the larger universal church, is thriving.
Right.
Some people give you different data and will tell you different things, but there is not a secret that says many of our churches are dying. Mm-hmm. And we have some of our churches that are not surviving. And so how do we make sure that we're not going to be one of those in 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years? And so for us, we said, let's build it right. We did a core group season at the beginning, and we started with 70 folks that showed up at an interest meeting, and I managed to grow it down to about 30 because we were quick to say, this is not going to be a church that's based on celebrity. This is not going to be a church that's based on individualism. This mm-hmm. is not a church where you can just get lost and sit in the back row and not know anyone and never serve. And so a lot of people didn't want that, but that's okay because we wanted to build it right. And so we asked ourselves hard questions and we said, what is it that we want to build the church on? And we said, let's look to the scriptures. And that's where we start, right there with the scriptures. Andrew, you are a part of our body. Mm-hmm. You know, you give us your, not so much the story about Shoreline,
sure.
but more about the value of scripture being prominent, preeminent, above all else in the churches. Sadly, if you look at the denominations that are across our country that are struggling, many of them are connected to their lessening value of the scriptures. So,
well,
speak
yeah,
towards
and,
that.
And as we look at that, I think for me, and I was talking about millennials earlier. I am a millennial.
Yep.
I'm a little bit different. I have a wife and four kids, and
how old are you?
34.
Man,
you're a
young man.
And I am, and there's something very intriguing to me about being an old man. And so there's
you've got the beard.
There is something to desiring to be an old man, but that will come. And so as I look through that, and as I think about where we're going to be in church and who we're going to, you know, where we're going to go, where our kids are going to be raised up, I've said this before. I've been in church since before while I was in the womb. And I mean, I've always been in church.
Yes.
Every Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesdays. That's just been my life for a long time. Was on staff at a church for 3 years. And so for me, the authentic worship is solid. But the handling of the text is paramount to where my family needs to be.
Yeah.
And the reason is because it is those scriptures, it is that text that points us to a good God that in the Old Testament at times was rough, but it was a reason. There was a reason for that, and everything pointed to Jesus.
Right.
And so, throughout the Old Testament, you constantly have stories that point to you need a Savior.
Right.
And this King that you keep calling for is not the King that is going to end it all for you. But I'll give you this King, and right. I'll show you that David isn't the guy. I'll show you that Saul isn't the guy. I'll show you that there's one to come. And the greater David, which is Jesus. And so for me, a church that handles the text that way mm-hmm. elevates the text and not elevates the people on stage. And I understand that people are going to hear this and go, well, how can you say we are not here to elevate anyone on stage, and then you're going to stand on stage and talk, and the worship guy is going to stand on stage and sing and maybe even put out an album.
You're opposed to celebrity.
Yeah.
And you have a radio
yeah.
show.
So, yeah. Like, I understand all of that.
Right.
But I also know that the Lord has called and gifted people to carry His gospel.
Right.
And so I saw something on Twitter this morning that said, pastors are often telling people to be missionaries in their homes and in their communities. And then when they have a fall from grace and they probably need to step away from the pulpit, they refuse to let go. And this person was saying, why won't they let go and go be a missionary in the community?
Yeah.
And so everyone struggles with
yeah.
that. Everyone
yeah.
wrestles with that. But for me, the scripture that says, go and make disciples, that is telling me as a Christian to do that in my home, which I fail at often. That is telling me to do that in my community, at my job. So you can't read, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You cannot read the Great Commission and go, my faith is personal. My faith is individualistic. This is time for me to be alone with God. Yes, you need to have time alone with God, like Jason said, when you are alone. But when you are walking through everyday life, it does you no good if you're at the ball field with a bunch of lost people and they don't know you have Jesus.
Right.
It does you no good to be at work with a bunch of lost people and they don't know you have Jesus. It does you no good to skip out church on Sunday and go be one with nature in the woods if the people you are being one with don't know you have Jesus and they need Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think what you've hit on is really important. You know, we could certainly talk about, we're today talking about, you know, pushing against that celebrity piece.
Sure.
We're pushing back against the consumerism, the individualism. You know, we don't want to just tear down something without building it back up, but we don't have time to talk about all the things. Certainly we know that there's a huge value of what's the opposition or maybe the kind of, you know, the response to individualism. It's community. So make sure you're involved in a church that has Sunday school or life groups or some degree where you can get involved in meaningful relationships, service. Be involved in a church that's not going to allow you to simply sit on your hands. Be involved in a church that's passionate about missions. But where we start is the Word of God. And again, if there is any question in your mind, does your church or do the churches that you're considering being a part of not value the Word of God, not only in the way that it's taught, but also the way that it's applied individually, but also to the life of the church, mm-hmm. then, man, I would just encourage you to keep seeking. Keep seeking.
And the only way you're going to know that is if you are in those times alone with God,
right.
in the Word of
right.
God. And so we can't go sit under at a church under a pastor and be able to, and I'm not saying go in with a critical heart, but
no,
you
sure.
do need to know, is this from the Scripture or am I going to a how-to motivational
right.
speech?
Yeah, we say often, you know, I'll say your spiritual growth does not sit exclusively on my shoulders.
Absolutely. And the same thing with your kids as well, with kids ministry. It's we need to be engaged in the process, but it all starts with the Word of God. He breathed life into us, and He breathed life into that Word. We'll be back. And that's another Between the Sundays in the books. We have maybe 5 minutes, 6 minutes left, so we're going to finish up with some challenges. I think the hope is that you would listen to this show and wherever you're listening to it, whether you're listening to it live on Joy 620 or you're listening to it in podcast form while you're mowing or out at the lake or just driving in your car, our goal is that you would be challenged. We want to be challenged when we leave this room, and so our goal is that you would be challenged. So, Jason, give us some challenges as we move forward.
I think as we would any element of our life, we need to have a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And certainly we believe the Spirit works prominently and predominantly through His Word. But maybe even today you've heard some things and you've thought, I've found myself becoming that believer who attends once or twice a month. And I kind of say, well, I can worship on the lake, or I can begin to commit to other things on Sunday mornings. And we're really quick. You referenced legalism earlier. We're really quick to say, listen, we cannot tell you what you should or should not commit to, but we can challenge you to fight for the church. Mm-hmm. The church at times can be ugly. It can be hard. It can be difficult, but it is still intended to be this remarkable thing that God wants to use. It is ultimately the bride of Christ.
Absolutely.
And so we have to fight for it. And so maybe you say, hey, it's hard. My schedule has become harder for me to be involved in the local church. Fight for it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you say, I've fallen into the temptation of a staff member left and now I don't feel connected to someone or a family that we knew left. And so we don't feel connected. Fight the temptation to be alone, to be isolated, and then also fight the temptation to come in and say, this is for me. This is just so I can be served. It's about my preferences. It's about my needs. When we begin to fight those things, the church becomes remarkably beautiful. And why is it? It's because we get to see things. You know, there's certain things that you don't get to experience hanging out at the lake. You don't get to watch someone, the body of Christ share in the elements of communion.
Right.
You don't get to observe baptism. I mean, there are some amazing things that were intended to be happening within the context of the local church. And so if you fight for it, not only is it going to be life-changing for you, but we really believe it's something that's going to draw people that are outside of the church to it.
Well, and also, we've been called to rejoice with those who rejoice and
exactly.
weep with those who weep. If
that's
we're
right.
not part of a local church, I would argue we are very seldom rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those that weep.
Right.
Where I grew up, at the funeral home, that was a lot of times family reunions for me. But what it also was it was an expression of the local church showing love to a family.
Right.
And weddings are the same way. You know, baby births are the same way. And so you have moments where because you're part of a local church, you can truly rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And,
right.
and there's been moments in my life and my wife and our family's life that had we not been a part of the local church, we would have never got through those moments.
Right.
It would have been an absolute wreck trying to walk through that alone in a very individualistic way.
Right.
Why? Because the local church comes around. They, whether it be providing meals or just simply coming and I'm always reminded of the story of Job. And all his buddies kept coming to him, and they would constantly run their mouth and about the issues that Job was facing. What Job needed at that moment was a friend to just come sit and cry and not say a word,
mm-hmm.
and just weep with him
right.
for the loss of his family
right.
and all that he went through. And so, are we doing that if we're not part of a local church? And again, this doesn't mean we're pushing one local church over the other. We're saying, get engaged. Now be thoughtful in that and make sure that Jesus is being elevated and the gospel is being shared and scripture has its rightful place. But be a part of that. That is, if you are a dad listening, your family needs to be a part. If you're a mom listening,
right.
your family needs to be a part. If you have kids, your family needs to be a part of what's going on at the local church. And that's where this, that we need to be pointing ourselves and,
right.
and our families to those things.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you saying this is not a promotion for Lord
sure.
Shoreline Church. And there are wonderful churches all across our city and all across many other cities if you're listening from further away. And so seek that. Figure that out. And I think also I would just say, even the temptation of what we're doing right now, my hunch is there are certain people that are listening to the radio right now that say, I listen to Christian radio all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to that sermon online.
Yep.
I listen to that preacher regularly. Well, those are good, but they were never intended to replace your involvement in the local church.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening today. We will be back next week. Again, find this show Between Sundays on iTunes, Podbeam, TuneIn app, Google Play, all of those places. Also, ShorelineKnox.com. You can learn more about the work that's going on there and around this city. And we just thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Still my heart.